It's that time of the year that we are craving warmth. I have been cozied up in bed on these rainy days that we've been having. I like a comforter. I need my socks. I sleep in socks, controversial take, but I love it. I also sleep with socks in my hair because I love a heatless curl. And if you're looking for a brand that designs comfort to carry you from your morning into your night, that is Cozy Earth. Their comforters are designed with naturally breathable, temperature regulating materials. I need something heavy, but I don't want to be overheated, and that is what this comforter does. And then as for socks, we need a small grounding comfort designed for our everyday life. They have four versatile styles: calf, quarter, ankle, and no-show. They are soft, breathable, and thoughtfully cushioned. Discover how care in every detail transforms simple routines into moments of true comfort and ease. Head to cozyearth.com and use my code COZYLEXI for up to 20% off. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on the Lexi podcast. Experience the craft behind the comfort and make every day feel intentional. New intro? Maybe. I thought a little forest sound could be nice. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, host of the Lexi podcast, and thank you for tuning in to this episode. I need to tell you the hard time that I've been having inside my own skin. It's perpetual. It's cyclical. I feel good. I feel okay. I feel bad. I feel okay. I feel good. And then I die. And I think a lot of us go through that. But I always beat myself up when I'm in the I don't feel good right now, as if I haven't experienced it time and time and time again. And this last month was really hard on me. I was really hard on myself. And as someone who really ties their worth to their output and their achievement, and I don't know whether or not that's due to being an American, someone born on the East Coast, someone born in the late 90s. I don't know. I don't know if it's generational, location, who knows. What baffles me most is that regardless of whether I use my coping skills or not, the cycle continues. I woke up this morning delighted. Okay, nothing on paper would make sense for a delightful mood. It was pouring down rain. We had storm warnings here in Los Angeles. I had slept in later than I would want to. I'm on my period, yet I couldn't wipe a smile off my face. I woke up staring out the windows at the gray skies and the pouring rain, and I'm looking at Spoon, my dog, cuddled inside my lap. And I'm so happy to be alive. And yesterday, a mere 24 hours ago, I was contemplating life itself. I'm never going to do anything. I love this life too much. I understand what a gift it is. The highs, the lows, the entire experience. Devastation, tragedy, it's all part of the experience. But a mere 24 hours ago, I definitely was thinking to myself, good God, I can't continue like this, that I'm miserable. I'm absolutely miserable. And a personal issue that I have, I don't know how to explain that I'm miserable because the things that make me happy are leaving the house, going outside, seeing people. So I have no way to show the level of misery or suffering I'm putting myself through in this case, because if someone's there, suddenly I don't feel so bad anymore. And I'm never faking it. If I'm out and I say that I've been really depressed or I've been going through a bit of a lull or a gloom and I don't seem like it, it's not that I'm putting on a front. It's not that I'm faking it whatsoever. It's truly that I feel happy right now. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be out. And I don't know how to make sense of it because I'm not sure if it's as simple as people make me happy. Therefore, if I'm unhappy and I see people, I have a moment of happiness, or if it's some deeper root that I never felt safe enough to show unhappiness growing up. Therefore, if someone wants to see it, I don't have the capacity to show it. But if that's the case, it's okay. I'll work on it. Something to think about. But my point is, nothing changed. I didn't do something special yesterday that led to me coming out of this funk. I woke up and it was over. And my body has the same energy as if I woke up with a pep in my step on a beautiful sunny day where my skinny jeans fit And I don't mean like my skinny jeans. I mean like my small size jeans fit. And I felt incredible in my body. And my skin was looking incredible. And I was having a great hair day. And I had just gotten the biggest check deposited into my bank account. And I have a gorgeous trip coming up. You would have thought all one of these things would have been happening. None of these things were happening. I woke up and it was stormy. And it was later than I expected. And I'm menstruating and there's a storm warning. And I was like, wow, what a world this is. I'm so happy to be here. What a time to be alive. I don't know why, but I'm using the momentum. And the last episode I posted had to be mid-January because I was in the middle of going on 10 dates in 30 days. Good God. It's over. I did it. I did all 10. I did all 10. Congratulate me. I don't feel very accomplished though. I haven't really reflected on it too much. This is just a little catch-up episode for the homies, if you haven't gathered that by now. This is not a teachable lesson. Maybe there's nuggets of wisdom that you'll find throughout this episode, but I'm not here as a teacher. I'm really here as a peer and a friend at this juncture on this episode. I swear I speak like a grandparent sometimes. And I think that's because my grandparents were so crucial in my raising. All four of them were incredibly, not relevant was the word I'm looking for. All four of them were incredibly present in my childhood and teenagehood and upbringing until they passed. And sometimes I'm like, at this juncture, why are you saying these things? I don't know. It's deep in my bones. I saw some TikTok of a girl talking about a very specific type of girl. Because you have daddy's girls, you have mommy's girls. She's like, there is a niche type of girl, and those are grandpa's girls. And I started cracking up. I think I started blushing because I am one. My grandpa and I were homies. That was my bestie. That was my dad. He was my guy. I was a grandpa's girl. When I was sick at school, he's who I would call. When I was having a bad day, he's who I wanted to see. If I had some free time and I wanted to get ice cream, I wanted him to take me. If I had a sports game, I wanted him there. I wanted, you know, everybody there. I'm happy to see mom, dad, grandma, other grandparents. But my mom's dad was so pivotal in my life. I was such a grandpa's girl, but I think it lends to a certain kind of personality because he was old, outdoorsy. He was a beekeeper, and we would go bird calling and berry picking and walking through meadows. And I don't know, I think actually I really am a culmination of all of my parents. And it's interesting to see when you get older, because I think certain elements are more obvious when you're younger. And then certain ones come out later. Like, I was the classic teenager that was like, I want to be nothing like my parents. Meh, 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 meh. And then I'll do something. I'm like, oh, good God, I sounded just like my dad. So it's funny because you think that you won't and you will. And it's humbling. I digress. I woke up in this fantastic, absolutely fabulous mood. And I decided to drive in the storm to go to a workout class. As I've said for the third time now, I'm on my period. Who wants to work out on their period? I would say most of my cycles, no, not me. I don't normally want to. Tell me why this is one of the best workouts I've ever had. I was looking at myself in the mirror like, damn, you look so good right now. I was on the stationary bike admiring my shoulder muscles. I said, where did those come from? I love those. They look amazing. My abs were visible. I feel like I've been bloated for the last 4 weeks. And then all of a sudden now I'm like, yes, girl, you look incredible. You look sensational. I have felt pale. I have had breakouts. I had to go to ChatGPT because health insurance is really annoying as a self-employed person. So I wasn't about to go to an actual dermatologist. I said, let's see what Dr. Chat has to say, because my skin was looking unusual. It wasn't typical to what my normal flawless skin, right? Because I'm always glowing. The thing is, I'm only half kidding when I say that. I feel that I mastered my skin a few years ago and my acne or any sort of irritation has been at bay for years, and I haven't had to think about my skin. And maybe I started taking it for granted. And recently, maybe December or so, I got a facial and I was given a ton of new products, and I thought it was going to really kickstart my skin to go from good, maybe even great, to glass. I was looking for K-beauty level glass skin, and all of a sudden I started having pimples that I wasn't too familiar with. They weren't cystic, but they weren't whiteheads, and a lot of redness, and I have more of a kind of a greener undertone and not red, so that was strange. And ChatGPT really called it out. It was like, have you started using an exfoliant, a liquid exfoliant, really regularly? And I was like, oh shoot, I have. And another product it called out, and I was like, yeah, I have. And it said, you just need to go back to the basics of a cleanser, a moisturizer, and a sunscreen. And what have I done? I've been going back to it, and my skin has been calming down. I set a countdown because I figured it would take about 3-4 weeks. I have 16 days left in my repaired skin barrier countdown, but apparently I damaged my skin barrier, according to Dr. ChatGPT. Now, I need to say, ChatGPT is wrong all the fucking time. A lot of the time. And it's become my new Google. That's how I use it. When I have a quick question, I want a more curated response than Google AI will give me, I'll go to chat. And I learned my lesson when I came home after work one day and I had seen gum packages. And if you have a dog, you probably have learned about how toxic xylitol is. I knew about chocolate. I knew about onions, garlic, grapes. I knew keep them away from weed. That's something that happens from time to time. Spoon got high on my friend's supply, actually, while I was out with this cute guy, no less. Not the point. I came home, saw gum wrappers, and I knew that he had gotten into gum. And I so quickly, I couldn't see the ingredients on the back. I was in such a frenzy that I threw hydrogen peroxide down the back of his throat, made him throw up immediately. I was like, we have to get this out. This is toxic. I sent a photo of the gum to chat and I said, does this have xylitol? And it was like, yes, this has xylitol. Absolutely toxic. Here are the numbers for poison control, blah, 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 blah. So I'm on the phone with poison control, and as I'm waiting, I'm looking on the back and there's no xylitol in it. User error, okay? User error. So I don't know if chat was perfectly correct about the skincare regimen that it supplied me, but it wasn't telling me anything complicated. It was literally like face wash, moisturizer, sunscreen, which I can't argue with. So my skin is looking good. My body is feeling good. I got sick at the end of November and it kind of carried through December. I was sort of having a cold on and off. I also hurt my back at the end of November. Wow, these are such boring comments. I'm going to move right along. 2 weeks of regular workouts, only, you know, 3 times a week. I am feeling good. I'm feeling good. I have done a couple good things for myself to the credit of going against my original statement of I didn't do anything different. But my point with the funk and then coming out of a funk and then going back into a funk is I have my emotional toolkit. I have the things that I do to try to keep my mental health in homeostasis, to keep my physical body in homeostasis. I try to eat well, I try to move my body, I journal, I read, I see friends, you know, all of the obvious healthy things. I try to do that, but sometimes it doesn't matter. The gloom is gonna come. The storm is on its way. And then the sun is on its way. It doesn't matter how thick of a depression I think I'm in. One day you wake up with all external circumstances working against you hypothetically, or nothing, you know, changing, and everything's okay. But I will say I was doing some fun things for not even my soul. What I had to start doing is I had to do it for my ego. For example, exercise, good for the body, good for the mind. You know what it's also good for? The ego. To be like, yeah, I did wake up at 4 a.m. and go to Malibu on a group sunrise hike on Valentine's Day. I sure as hell did. I was with doctors and lawyers. I was like, look at us successful young professionals watching the sunrise together. I brought Spoon with me. I knew when I said yes to that hike, nothing about it was from my heart or my soul. I said, my ego needs this. Oh, it could really use this because, wait, you know what I think we need to do? I think it's time to take a break for today's sponsors.
This episode sponsored by You Beauty. Looking for skincare that actually delivers transformative results? You Beauty combines breakthrough science with simplicity. The multitasking resurfacing compound replaces multiple steps with one powerful yet balanced formula designed to visibly brighten, smooth, and even skin while helping minimize the look of pores, dark spots, and fine lines. And it's gentle enough for sensitive skin. Add their super hydrator for up to 48 hours of multi-level hydration that leaves skin looking plump, dewy, and glowing. Streamline your routine and see the difference for yourself. Shop now at youbeauty.com.
Okay, now we're back. You know what hurts my ego? When my screen time gets high, nothing embarrasses me more than having a high screen time. It makes me feel like cattle. It makes me feel like I'm in the machine more than other things do. Am I cattle in the machine? Sure, we probably all are. But it makes me feel exponentially more useless and weak having high screen time. And my roommate has been out of town, and I find that my screen time goes up considerably when she's gone, because the time that I would normally be chatting with her, socializing in the house, I'm on my phone. And the high screen time just, it had to go. So I had to counteract it and do a massive overcorrection and say, you had 6 hours of screen time yesterday. You're going to get up at 4 tomorrow and you're going to hike a mountain at sunrise, because you need to show yourself what you can do. You know what? You know what I haven't been doing recently? Reading. I'm such a reader. Y'all know that about me. I am reading a book all the time. I love it. I have not wanted to read a book at all this year. I tried several. I've tried nonfiction. I've tried fiction. I've tried classic. I've tried modern. I've tried cheap. I've tried, you know, I have run the gambit of topics, and none of them are satiating me. I can't sink my teeth into any of them. I went to the bookstore recently, and this is when ICE raids were peaking on, so I don't know, it was really a hard time on social media. I mean, it just generally, my feed is diabolical at the moment, to go from, this is how I made 10K in the last week on social media, Sarah on TikTok telling me about the Epstein files, and I hear, I was locked up in Alcatraz Island for 3 weeks, and this is what happened to me. Winter Olympics. It's overwhelming. It's all-consuming, and it's hard on the psyche. And then it's like, Charlie XCX makes soundtrack for Wuthering Heights. Sundance. Valentine's Day. Like, shut up, everyone. Yeah, I have not been reading at all. I can't seem to get into it. I've been very into film, though. I'm really enjoying watching a movie. I don't know if I said this in an episode or not, but I don't know how I made it this long without having ever watched Shawshank Redemption. If you want a well-paced, beautiful story and you haven't watched it, or you haven't watched it recently, I highly recommend. I don't know if it's streaming on anything, but it's worth the $3 to rent it. It's a tender, beautiful story. And I need more movies like that. I don't mind a long movie. I also have a habit of breaking up watching a movie into several experiences. I'll watch 45 minutes and then another 45 minutes and then the remainder in the morning or whatever it is. Sometimes I'll watch it two nights before I go to sleep because I want a movie that requires my full attention. I had heard recently that now films are being made where you can't have subtleties in the foreshadowing. It needs to be mentioned more than once because most people are consuming movies as a second screen. They're already using their phone as the movie's on. So if someone has infidelity, they're gonna say, I think she cheated on me. And then 10 minutes later, I think she cheated on me. And then maybe a third time, so that if you're not paying full attention, you'll still understand she cheated on him. And that's frustrating because it's dumbing down and watering down our thinking skills and our attention span, which we already know is rapidly declining. I will give myself a little pat on the back. I have a pretty incredible attention span. especially for someone in this day and age with a little bit of ADHD in the mix, I can give my attention. I will read a slow burn book. I think that's also why I like podcasting, because I can give my attention to something for a long amount of time. I actually find it really frustrating that we are consuming so much vertical content, and that's where things are being pushed, because it's not my preference. It's not my choice. It's not intuitive to me. There's a learning curve, and I like to have the juiciest part of the story, something that you have to earn. I don't like giving it all away up front. That's not what it's about. But if attention is a commodity, then, you know, you gotta play the game. It's just not my preference, as I said. And I haven't been reading. I also have not been writing. I'm a journaling girl. I love to do a little to-do list, a little Dear Diary. My diary has been about as frequent as my podcast. I think I maybe had one or two diary entries in the last month, and that's rare. I don't like it, but every time I sit down to do it, I just can't. I don't know why. I was able to write something yesterday. I was drafting a little something on Substack because I thought maybe I'd be more inclined to continue if I thought there could be a potential witness or audience or reader. I had begun it with a little bit of me trying to find a reason or a direction for someone that gets off on novelty but also requires structure and routine. I find nothing more motivating than novelty. A fresh start, you know, going on a trip somewhere I've never been, the first day of school, moving into a new house, those things give me such energy. I love an excuse for a fresh start. But then if I have no balance and no structure and routine, I fumble a little bit. I need something that keeps my curiosity entertained. I need something that feeds that. But a little bit of expectation, a little bit of rhythm. And so I started kind of exploring that. And then it completely went into misandry, which is also not true to who I am. But the more I witness, the more I'm understanding the frustration I have with men at large. But it's less about individual men and more about the collective nature in which they've evolved into, or what has been the perpetual root of men's motivations. I scroll on Instagram a lot. I scroll on TikTok a lot. I'm on my phone. I literally just complained about having high screen time recently. And something that I'm guilty of is when I hear something online, I'll save it for later. A recipe that looks good, a stretch for my lower back, a flirting technique. It all collects in that little digital landfill that I create. I know I'm not going to look back at it, but it doesn't stop me from clicking save every single time. And the two things that really stuck with me recently, one was about men, but the other one was your feelings are a crying baby in the backseat. And that was a nice little wake-up call for me, because I can be guided by my feelings. If I'm in a really good mood, I let that take the driver's seat. If I'm in a really bad mood, I let that take the driver's seat. If I'm exhausted, I let that take the driver's seat. But the point was, your feelings are a crying baby in the back seat. That baby doesn't know how to drive. That baby doesn't know what it's doing. That baby's new. It's inexperienced. It doesn't have the knowledge that you have. So why would you ever let the crying baby in the back seat, which are your feelings, get in the driver's seat and take control? And that stuck with me. So that I saved digitally, but also saved mentally. And then the other one was a clip from a movie where I think it's Dakota Johnson asking, oh, why can't I remember that actor's name? You can tell that I'm a reader more than a film critic, watcher, viewer. I don't know. It's the guy who was in One Battle After Another, the white guy with like the, I think he's British, whatever. She asks him, if men know they're going to cheat, then why don't they just stay single forever? And he said something that shocked me, because it's true. He answered, because men want to look good for other men. And he's right. And that crushed me. Looking like a family man is more important than being a family man. Looking like you've achieved this woman on your arm is more important to them than making sure that woman knows how loved she is. And yes, there are anomalies and exceptions to the rule, but it hurt to hear, because I see that. And I also think that's led to me staying single for so long, because I see the inner workings of relationships and I think, I don't want to be in that. I would not want to trade places. the inner peace that I have is much better. Until I meet someone that enriches the experience, I don't want to be a prop for a man. I don't want to be with a man just so he can look good to other men. One of the guys for sure on the 10-day challenge was that type of guy, which sucked because he was so sexy in this sort of unexpected way. A little bit of a bummer. Definitely objectifying, but in a way that was hot in the moment and probably gross after the fact. A little bit of a bummer. But I see that with just general men, you know, I'm outside. I see the girls. I see the guys. I know what kind of guys they are. And there's certain guys that I have questions about this theory, but why are there certain guys that I would be friends with and they're such good friends, but I would not date them or ever, ever set up a friend with them? They're so fun to hang out with, but shouldn't that speak to their character? If I wouldn't date them, then why would I not want to be their friend if it was for knowing how bad of a partner they would be? I don't know. Maybe that's not true, because I think there's a little bit more leeway with friendships where you can forgive a little bit more because you're not relying on them or in a partnership with them. You're supporting each other and enjoying each other's company and learning along the way the same way you are in a relationship, but I don't require as much out of a friend as I would with a partner. Something to think about. There was a guy that a couple of people I know dated, and my friend was like, great guy friend, horrible boyfriend. Something to think about. Something that's been on my mind. What else has been on my mind? Way off topic, but I'm team black pepper. And $100 for anyone that knew I was about to say that, because I cannot think of anything less expected to say as a transition. But I have been eating so many different foods that are pepper flavored, like specifically black peppercorn flavored. I love steak au poivre. I think that would be one of my dying dishes. And I have been eating this cheese from Trader Joe's that has a peppery, not brine, like a casing to it. There's almost a rub on the outside that's black pepper, and I've been eating it with this salami that was coated in black pepper. And there was such a community for hot sauce. I don't know if it still exists, but I remember when I was living in New York, there was a store that was dedicated to niche hot sauces. Obviously, there's hot ones, and there's people who love spicy peppers, but what about the black pepper community? What about them? Because if they have no fans, I'm dead. If I am number one fan, I love a peppercorn sauce. I love salt, pepper, butter on a potato, a baked potato. Baked potatoes have not had the PR that they deserve. We've been eating potatoes in so many other ways, and let's bring back the baked potato. I do think Sweet Potatoes PR team has been doing a better job. You know who's also having an amazing PR moment right now is sardines. Can you believe it? Who would have thought that would not have been one of my 2026 predictions, that sardines would be flying off the shelves? I can't lie. It's making me want to make a little tuna style sandwich, but with sardines instead. Mash it up. I've also been wanting to fry it on the pan. I'm curious about it. I'll be honest, I'm a pretty adventurous eater. I don't know if I've ever actually had a sardine. Anchovies, I have pretty frequently. I love an anchovy in a Caesar salad. I love melting anchovies into a pasta sauce. I love having an anchovy just on a piece of bread and butter, which God bless bread and butter. I hope that sandwiches get their PR team back, because we really went through an era of bowls, putting everything in a bowl. And sometimes it's nice, especially for a lunch, to just be able to have kind of a portable meal. But the prices of sandwiches are astronomical. We're talking, if you want a smoothie and a sandwich for lunch in Los Angeles, you're looking at about $42. I'm not kidding. I'm truly not kidding. I went to get a breakfast burrito after the hike I went on when I had to wake up at 4 in the morning, and I hiked 5 miles. Yeah, that day. Anyway, we stopped at a sort of hole-in-the-wall roadside breakfast place. Something where I certainly would have thought the breakfast burrito would be fire and cost me about $7.50. I got a pot coffee, you know, just poured small size and a breakfast burrito, $18. I said, this is criminal. I'm not in economics, but it seems like the lower cost items are the ones that are having the major increase. Things that are of the higher end at restaurants where a pasta would normally cost $33, now it might cost $37. But places that used to have a $12.99 pasta are now selling it for $27. And at that point, let me just go to the expensive one. I went to McDonald's last year and I got a fry and a McFlurry and my total was $12. Oh, more than $12. I couldn't believe it. Same things, like, it seems like I'm seeing a rise in the lower end items. I'm also seeing that people are more interested in splurging on smaller luxuries than saving up for a larger item or trip. My friend was telling me they were watching someone's video about how you would think that their Airbnb, because of inflation, they could charge more for it, but they've actually had to start charging less because people aren't interested in buying travel right now in that way. Whereas people are down to spend $35 on an engraved lighter, but they're not down, instead of spending $80 on a sterling silver ring. It's like, it's just a harder one-time purchase, but people want to spend $40 to feel alive, something that I'm experiencing. But yeah, I've been really into black pepper recently. I've always been into it. I always have liked it, but it's been very prevalent in my diet. What else have I been eating lately? I'm really on a dumpling kick. I like soup dumplings. I'm enjoying pot stickers, any sort of Asian dumpling. I've been making a ton of Asian style meals. A lot of soy sauce has been used. A lot of ginger and garlic and soy sauce are being used in my kitchen right now. I'm out of sesame oil, and there's been a lot of salmon, rice bowls, as I said, dumplings. I love a soup dumpling. I'm trying to eat more hot food. My acupuncturist has been telling me this for a long time, to avoid cold food. And now that the traditional Chinese medicine / I became Chinese today trend is going on TikTok, which I can't believe that's a real thing to say out loud. But I finally got a little bit of clarity as to why I should be eating hotter foods. That made sense to me enough for me to change my behavior. I can't do something blindly too often, especially with personal lifestyle changes. When there's something that I like a lot, which is cold foods. I've always enjoyed cold foods. I love a frozen grape more than just a regular grape. I like ice cream. I like yogurt. I like smoothies. I like smoothie bowls. I would rather have a cold dish than a hot one. But I did see someone on the internet. I have not fact-checked it because it made sense to me logically, and I said, we're going to go with this. Explain why it's better to eat foods when they're hot. I like a salad more than cooked vegetables. Sorry, I had to give another example because it came to my mind. The way that it was explained to me was, think of when your fingers are cold. If you dip your fingers into freezing cold water, you can't really feel it. And so that's what happens to your stomach when you're eating cold foods. It's hard for your body to recognize when you're satiated, when you're full, because your stomach can't really feel it. And so you can consume a lot more. And it also is harder on the digestion because it has to cool it down than heat it up to digest it. It's a harder process. And when it was compared to my fingers being numb, that could make sense to me. So I've been trying to eat more hot foods, drink hot teas, and I will say that after doing that for even just a week, I've found myself wanting hot coffee more than I want cold coffee. I've been wanting dumplings after a workout more than I've wanted to make a protein shake. And that is on routine and just getting really good at continuing things. It feels easier. The hardest part is when you don't have a reason for why you're doing it. Irina telling me, Lexi, I want you to eat more hot foods. I'm like, okay, Irina's telling me to do this. She says it's better for me, but I don't know why. Whereas now when I'm thinking about making something, it's like, aw, well, I want my stomach to be able to feel when it's full, and I want it to have an easier time, and I'll feel better. It's going to use less energy and make me less tired, so let's just have something hot. And it makes the change easier, and then your body gets used to it, and your body starts craving it, and that's when things get really easy. It's just hard to make that initial shift. I feel the same way with journaling. I've gotten out of the habit of it, so now the idea of opening up my journal and writing something down with my goddamn hand and writing something down with my damn hand seems impossible. What is that? I had to start listening to an audiobook on ADHD in women because I felt that I was having a little bit of an ADHD flare up. And I know that it manifests in women different than men, and also seeing how it shows up in adulthood versus childhood. And I was starting to use Adderall a little bit as self-medicating, even though I'd been prescribed it in the past. I was using it on my own volition, and it wasn't really helping, and I wasn't understanding what was going on. It was helping, but then I would almost have a rebound effect. So I started listening to a book on it, similar to the fact that I haven't been able to read. I think an audiobook has been the way to get it done. But I'm actually finding it to be counterproductive because all of the pitfalls and weaknesses that I relate to are on the forefront of my mind, and I am almost allowing that to be an excuse for why something's not able to get done, and I'm being easier on myself and allowing myself to not do it because, oh, this is just a symptom of your ADD. It's okay. Don't worry about it. All the people with ADD act this way. Theirs are so much worse. The examples that are being used in this book are people that are afraid to invite people over to their home because it's so disorganized and so cluttered. I'm like, you're not there, so it's fine. It's fine if your, bathroom products are overflowing because you're not embarrassed to have someone over. So I'm finding that this book isn't really helping me. It's giving me a little bit of insight, but I don't think it's doing what I wanted it to do. But because I have to finish everything I start, I am going to finish the book. Womp womp. I'm so happy to be talking to you guys. If you are still listening to this part of the episode, I really just want to say hi, thank you, and I love you so much. I love you guys so much, and I'm so sorry for not posting regularly this year. I'm loving my job at Clio. I let it take priority, and I don't know if it actually is my priority. It just was so fun, and it's physical, where I wake up, I get dressed, and I go somewhere. And that was really enjoyable for me and has been really enjoyable for me, where I clock into work and I'm mentally at work, and then I get home and I'm not at work. And then suddenly it makes social media feel like homework, and I've never liked homework. I want to be able to just decompress and have no obligations when I'm at home besides basic house chores. And when I get home after work, oh, well, you should record a podcast. Oh, well, you should edit a vlog. I'll just start shooting myself to death, and then reverse psychology, be like, well, if you have to, I can't. I don't know. Do you ever do that? Like when you tell yourself you have to do something, you resist it. Whereas if you tell yourself you don't have to do it, then suddenly it'll make it easier for you. That's how it works in my brain. And I don't know why I often have to use reverse psychology on myself, but I was resisting posting online. It felt like a chore, even though it's not. It's one of my favorite things to do in this whole world, but I was really having trouble with it, and I don't know what happened. I mean, this entire episode is sort of a synopsis of what happened to me, but I'm not exactly sure how to prevent it in the future, besides when I have energy like this to just batch content and get it ready to give to you. Normally, I'm not this slow, but I think it's because I have another job that's providing me income, and this isn't my entire livelihood, that I'm allowing myself to slack a little bit, whereas when this would be the only thing I would do, it'd be like, all right, get it together. This is the only thing you do. So I don't know, but I do want to say thank you so much, and I do miss you guys. And I also have a vlog that's edited. I just have to get it approved by a sponsor, which is so exciting. I'm having Skillshare sponsor, which is awesome because I love Skillshare, and I'm sure you've heard of it, but it's basically a learning platform where it has courses that you can take. So something I'm learning right now, in addition to making journals, I don't know if I've talked about making journals on the podcast yet. It's all over my Instagram. It's a little bit on my TikTok, but I don't know if I've mentioned it here. I've been making leather-bound journals, like the traveler's journals that you see so popular online, because I wanted a place that you could touch and feel them in LA, because you have to order them from Paris or Japan or Vienna. And it's really, really fun to make. And so now I'm learning how to sew leather, because I think they'll be even better looking if they're sewn instead of just adhesive. Adhered together. Something to think about. And there's a how to sew class on Skillshare. So I was also watching a feng shui one. There's so many different ones, but I need to record a little Thank you so much to the sponsor. I haven't done that in so long, so that'll be cool. And then once it gets approved, that'll be up, I would say, this week. It's February 16th right now, and I'm feeling fantastic about this episode, so I'm probably just going to post it live ASAP. And just like that, the rain is subsiding, the clouds are beginning to clear, I can see the sun starting to set, and this is going to be a beautiful week. I'm going to get this episode up right now, and the Q&A portion of it will be saved for the Patreon. For every episode that goes public, there is a private episode that is ad-free and extended on Patreon. So if you want to hear answers to the questions that you asked on Instagram, you can find it there. I saw some flirting questions, a dating update on my life, some creative questions, some financial questions, so I'll get into that. And for everyone else, I'll see you either on the internet soon or I'll see you here next week. Thank you guys so much. I love you. Thanks for listening. XOXO, Lexi.
This episode sponsored by YouBeauty. Looking for skincare that actually delivers transformative results? YouBeauty combines breakthrough science with simplicity. The multitasking resurfacing compound replaces multiple steps with one powerful yet balanced formula, designed to visibly brighten, smooth, and even skin, while helping minimize the look of pores, dark spots, and fine lines. And it's gentle enough for sensitive skin. Add their super hydrator for up to 48 hours of multi-level hydration that leaves skin looking plump, dewy, and glowing. Streamline your routine and see the difference for yourself. Shop now at youbeauty.com.